Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. It is the sixth day of September 2016. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Hey, that was easy. And I just had a big burst of sound in the left side of my cans. And, all right. Please, God, don't let something else be... Why am I asking you? No, this is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to jump into The Horn chat room. As long as you've got a computer that doesn't object to Java, well, you can just go to headonradionetwork.com, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, jump in, and you will be happily and heartily welcomed by the likes of Hoghead, Jugapunch, Laborman, Steve from Georgistan, VT Blom, and many others as they wander in as, it's not like we ring a bell and there's a tardy penalty or anybody has to stand in the corner. Bunch more folks will be joining shortly. Yes. You're welcome there. You know, just don't come in and crap on the coffee table and expect nobody to act like you did, and you'll be fine. Yeah. Let's see. I got the high. I'm out of the way. This is a program that is listener-supported. We do not live in fear of advertisers. Because we don't have any. That means we don't have to self-censor out of fear of who we'll piss off. No, we just go ahead and roll the dice and take the chances with the people who want this program to exist. And it will exist as long as you determine that that is indeed what you want. Because fundraising has been a little bit spotty of late, we find ourselves with a fundraising goal of $360 this evening. Thank you very kindly to our subscribers for taking that down from $420 overnight. That's a rather big deal. Thank you very, very much indeed. So let's see, what is that? That's one at 360, two at 180, four at 90, eight at 45, 16 at 2250, 32 at 11 a quarter. Oh, God, what is that 64 at? 550, 56250. Yeah, yeah. So that's how that all plays out. The PayPal interface is at headonradionetwork.com, and it's under the tab Contribute. You fill out the form. We are always looking for new subscribers. We much appreciate new subscribers. We'd like to have at least 100 new subscribers, we'd like to have 100 new subscribers. We'd like to have 100 subscribers at all. And I remind you, if you are a subscriber and you find that, I got a note from Felicia a couple of weeks back saying, I didn't realize my subscription had canceled, but it has. And I'm not for sure about it, but I think they fall off after a year. So if you have been a subscriber in the past and you find out, then just go back and re-up it if you want to. And it would be very, very helpful if you did. The goal in the long run is to have 400 $10 a month subscribers so that I don't even have to do anything more than say thank you every night rather than sitting here and saying, well, this is what we do to stay on the air. because this is what we do to stay on the air. And it takes up, as far as I'm concerned, too much time in the program, but it's the only way we have of making sure that this continues, because we don't have any ads for buy gold now. There's never been a better time to buy gold. Gold is your best hedge against inflation. Buy high and sell low, schmucks. Because that's how it works when you advertise gold on the radio. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did anybody have the common decency to take away Tom Hartman's belt and shoelaces? What with the national treasure, Phyllis Schlafly, going to her long home yesterday? I'm just checking. I've been worried about him. Was he on the air today? Anybody? Bueller? I'm worried, because I'm a caring guy. But anyway, we've got it's Tuesday, the 6th of September, 2016. It appears that I've got it ain't Phyllis Schlafly that's gone. It ain't just Phyllis Schlafly that's gone to her long fucking home. No, it appears that. It appears the mouse to the other computer has, too. Oh, joy. I'll start out by buying some batteries, maybe. And then probably have to go and buy a new... Aren't wired keyboards and wired mice just lovely? Because this wireless thing is probably giving me brain cancer to begin with. Because it's Wi-Fi. But anyway, that's where we stand. We've got $360 to raise. And, we try to raise $200 an evening. If it goes up, if it's above $200 an evening, it's because we have fallen short on fundraising prior to that. Ralphs with a question. Hey, Bob, seems as though I can't get into the chat room anymore, and if the Wild Rice Challenge is still going on, I'd like to get some. Wild Rice Challenge is still going on because I'm still waiting for the first shipment of wild rice, and it was huge. If there's more interest, yeah, it's still going on. I'll keep that out there. Wild rice on offer for either a $60 contribution or a $100 contribution. You pick. And I'll keep that open for a while. Thanks for reminding me, Ralphs. I don't know why you can't get in the chat room. Sparky, the longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, is, he's in there. He has folded space, being a third stage guild navigator. He's folded space to become Man Cave. Java is such a giant pain in the ass. It really, really, really is. So my apologies, Ralphs, but I don't know why. If you've got the link to the so-called back door to the chat room, that might be a better option for you. A lot of people, for some reason, have a hard time getting through the front door there at the website. I have no idea. I've started. Subject line, Hartman and Phyllis Schlafly. Scott in San Diego says, yes, he was on today. He mentioned she had died and briefly spoke of agreeing with her on a few things, but disagreeing on most. I'm glad she didn't take him with her. It may be a matter of browser. I'm in there on Firefox. Steve from Georgia Stan suggesting try Firefox. Trey in Kentucky Stan merely observing Java. Right, kind of like my wireless mouse and wireless keyboard on the computer I used to do the upload with. Well, here, let's just make it all encompassing. Technology. But if you want to help out with fundraising, go to headonradionetwork.com, click the contribute tab, fill out the fields there on the first page, leave the one blank about whatever it is you do for Mr. Drysdale down to the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills, and get to the next screen. That's where you decide about checks, money orders, No, that's where you make credit cards, PayPal balances, that kind of thing. If you prefer the United States Postal Service, well, you can always mail it in. Checks and money orders made payable to the Horn, not Bob Kincaid. Bob Kincaid never sees them. Checks and money orders made payable to the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, Beckley, W-V, 25801, and I'll tell Boss Man Wayne to be on the lookout so he can leave his spider-proof gloves in the big red truck, and all he'll have to take with him is a sturdy length of iron plumbing pipe in case he runs into a Klansman there at the UPS store, because the UPS store insists on the freedom to do business with the Klan. Mm-hmm. Oh, and a happy announcement. Okay. Thank you, Sparky. Ralphs, if you run over to Facebook, on the Horn Facebook page, you will find a link to the back door to the chat room. Maybe that'll help some. I hope it does. Thanks, Sparky. Thanks a lot. It's Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. You may recall Titanic Tuesday is named for that great moment in Southern Appalachian broadcasting when the right-wing monotone, now long since off the air, but the right-wing monotone over in America's fifth smallest radio market, Beckley, West Virginia, took a call from one of his knuckle-breathing, mouth-walking followers who asked, "Steve, how come it is that there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? We ain't nowhere near the beach." To which he replied, "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates." We're not making this up. Mm-hmm. No word yet on the movement of the Titanic naked lady ice cube molds. Mm-mm, no. So, there's that. Note coming from Randy in PA. The reason that I go all in for the Horn is that I can always count on new, fresh, honest, liberal content from Bob when everybody else is mailing it in. Bob's on the air. Thank you, Randy. Thank you very, very kindly. Welcome to the chat room, Exoplanet. Joining in with the happy bunch there in the chat room. Exoplanet? Is your nickname Pluto? Go to hell, Bob. A minute ago, I mentioned how the Wi-Fi coming off the mouse will probably be my demise. And, well, I did that because of something, and this is Titanic Tuesday, and Titanic Tuesday is dedicated to examples of Titanic intellect, more often than not. Right-wing examples. I'm not sure whether this is right-wing or left-wing, because it's got a green flavor to it, too. Or I should say a Steinian flavor to it. Did you catch that story over the weekend? I'm sorry. I have to take my laughs where I can get them. And I got a dandy over the weekend. I mean, this was restaurant quality. I mean, it's not like shooting fish in a barrel, but honest to God, have you ever flown on an airplane? I know many of us have. Most of us don't do it very often. Some more than others. And some airports are certainly larger than others by a long shot. But they really do make a conscious and sincere effort to let you know where it is you're going when you get into the aircraft. George Carlin, famous, who, by the way, has a new recording out, even though he's dead. The day before September 11th, 2001, He recorded a new comedy special. What did he call it? I Like It When Everybody Dies. And even he, after what happened on September 11th, 2001, you know, the next day after he recorded it, well, he decided it might be just a little too raw to release it after all. And it's finally coming out. Just be on the lookout for it. I heard one little tiny clip snippet of it, and yes, it's funny. It's also dark, 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 dark. Anyway, no, George Carlin, it was he who originally noted, you getting on the plane, I'm getting in the plane. The daredevils can get on the plane. But anyway, the airports and airlines try to make a conscious effort. And granted, flying in the United States is no fun. Flying in most of the world is no fun, but because it's been reduced from being any fun. I'm intrigued. Steve from Georgia stand with a note. I heard something this morning almost as distressing as the metal Pat Boone. Dwight Yoakam has done a bluegrass cover of Purple Rain. It's not released to the public, but it will be. Steve from Georgia stand says, I don't care to hear it again, nor can I ever unhear it. Part of me wants to just be, just lash me to the mast like Odysseus sailing past the Sirens. And then that's intriguing. All right, done. Ralph's is making a gift of a pound of wild rice to her sis. That's going to be cool. And I have no doubt that I will be able to get it to her by Christmas. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you very kindly. Which, incidentally, will take our fundraising goal down to $300 to go for the evening. Thank you very kindly, Ralphs. But flying is generally a crummy experience. They try to cram as many human beings into a plane in order to maximize profit and minimize comfort and minimize safety as they humanly possibly can. But there is one thing to be said for certain. They do try to at least get you into the correct uncomfortable aircraft. Poor Jill Stein. Poor, poor Jill Stein. I had a tough run of luck over the weekend. There's a place in Ohio called Bexley, Bexley, Ohio. And there is a place in Bexley called Capital University. And somebody at Capital University had decided that it would be just awesome to have Jill Stein come and speak to the assembled faithful. You know, both of them. No, I see. And no, there's at least enough people in this photograph to knock down a couple of pizzas. So the Green Party was going to have a rally there at Capital University in Bexley, Ohio. And so Jill Stein went to the airport, got in the plane, and promptly flew to the wrong place. Mm-hmm. The Columbus Dispatch was there, and a photographer, therefore, dutifully snapped a photo of an empty podium staring out at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 21 people. The later report said there were a whole 100 people waiting to hear from her. But anyway, it turns out she accidentally got on a flight to Cincinnati instead of getting on a flight to Columbus. Well, you know, they all look the same out there in flyover country. I mean, Cincinnati begins with a C. Columbus begins with a C. I mean, so she flew to Cincinnati. Because she didn't see the sign that said the plane was going to you know, Cincinnati and not, you know, Columbus. In the Columbus Dispatch article, there was no official explanation for why Stein got on the wrong flight. It was probably the Wi-Fi. But speaking of Wi-Fi, I have Kelly to thank for this. And this is going to be, I mean, this is world class. Ye God, Sparky. Purple Rain cover. Oh, no. Ron in Raleigh with an email says, Dwight Yoakam, Purple Rain? Oh, wait a minute. There's at least a couple of claps of the cowbell on this. Dwight Yoakam, Purple Rain? Ron in Raleigh says, you take the mask, give me the wax. I don't need to hear this. I think we've got something resembling consensus forming here. I mean, Hayseed Dixie is one thing, but really? I promise not to even... No, I won't. No, I have Kelly to thank for this, and it's a letter to the editor in the Pocahontas Times, Pocahontas being a county in the eastern part of West Virginia. It's very easy to become geographically confused in this state. Pocahontas County is beautiful. That's where former Senator Jay Rockefeller built his cabin. Did you hear the scare quotes around cabin? Yeah. And it's breathtakingly beautiful. Also in Pocahontas County is the epicenter of what is called the Quiet Zone, because they try to minimize extraneous electronic noise, so that the giant radio telescope at Green Bank can listen into space to eventually discover the shrieks coming from Norblap 9 when they finally get their first few broadcasts from us and go, oh no, put a condom on that. Build a wall around that planet and make them pay for it, okay? Dear editor, it is time we tell the whole truth about Wi-Fi and its use in the greater Green Bank area. Now, as background, you need to know that that part of the country has become a bit of a magnet, if you will, for wackos, kooks, and loony birds who are convinced, because of messages they receive in the fillings in their teeth, that Wi-Fi and electric door openers, you may recall, and you know, like little laser scanners, things like, right, are, I don't know, mutating us into a species of tiny mouthed gill breathing people on land, just human mud puppies. It is time we tell the whole truth about Wi-Fi and its use in the greater Green Bank area. And I offer the, by way of a warning, get the hockey puck and a good couple of trips around with the duct tape, because you're liable to shriek like a wild cat in the mating season. I've read this several times, and I never get all the way through it in just one pass. It is, and you kind of need that Joe Friday kind of voice for it. This isn't really Cronkite stuff. Or maybe that who was he? The guy from The Untouchables or something? Yeah. It is time we tell the whole truth about Wi-Fi and its use in the greater Green Bank area. I don't know the reason why the narrative Wi-Fi is unavailable here is continued. Whether it was in the Popular Science magazine April 2015 issue, the Washingtonian magazine January 2016 issue, or just as recently as the June 23rd, 2016 edition of the Pocahontas Times. The misinforming goes on. However, Wi-Fi accessibility is being spread by more and more people here every day. For starters, the phone TV companies provide router boxes with antennae that are spraying toxic radiation at over a legal limit up to and over 100 yards away from their source. At home, in schools, at work, at places of recreation, businesses, and in churches. Some people who do not want this to be happening to themselves or their loved ones have believed they were turning off the antennae when they disabled it. They come only to find out the antennae continue to spew DNA-damaging, brain-altering, cancer-causing radiation all over themselves, their family, and neighbors. The deleterious effects to the human body have been scientifically demonstrated well beyond a precautionary measure point, with over 20 years of non-industry-funded research and reporting. The body-corrupting microwave radiation from routers can be stopped. The router has to be shut off completely to guarantee its inoperability. Or one can, at an additional expense to a household budget, take control of their environment to protect the health and well-being of themselves and other, and purchase their own router without antennae from the open marketplace, as the communications companies are failing to respond with a hardwired requested options for subscribers. Is a machine such as the Green Bank Telescope more important than us naturally made frequency-filled and self-regulating humans? The state law that protects the operation of the NRAO telescopes does nothing to protect our families from man-made frequency interference. In the meantime, we collectively can no longer remain ignorant of the dangers. The frequencies used by many devices are the same which the U.S. military deploys in its non-lethal, mind-altering, and incapacitating technology, described in a 1998 release, 2006 declassified Freedom of Information Act requested document. When we are made aware of the dangerous electro-smog... Wait a minute. You can't say that without a little help. When we are made aware of the dangerous electro-smog building up in our environmentally respectful Pocahontas County, that which is filled with plague-laden microwave... That which is filled with plague-laden microwaves, what would drive anyone to intentionally fry themselves with Wi-Fi, internet, TV, phone access, cordless and cell not so smartphones, tablets, and appliances usage. Be blessed and hardwired, Monique Grimes of Green Bank. I got to do this before I forget. And click, and yep. Yeah, that one's bookmarked. Electrosmog! That may turn into a thing. Why? Because electrosmog. I'm pretty sure that Jill Stein's guaranteed at least one vote in West Virginia. Electrosmog. That's wow. Michael in Madison, please tell me you're listening. Please tell me you're tuned in tonight. Because I'm going to need some help. Shouldn't Electrosmog be the name of a band? Sure, Bob. Bandwidth. Dear God. Well, it, with any luck, you know, we'll get through. A little bit of good news, I hope. No, let's go to this good news first. It's not a full victory. It's not even a partial victory. It's a little bitty, tiny taste of maybe a victory. Jeremy in Vermont with a note. LMFAO, cracking up here. Wi-Fi, not so much. Smoke, sun, yes. My new drone uses its own Wi-Fi network to control itself. Well, soon it'll be controlling you with its electrosmog, Jeremy. Laugh now. We'll see if you're laughing later. It is being reported. That a federal judge has issued a temporary, very temporary injunction halting construction on the Dakota Access Pipeline after an emergency court hearing. U.S. District Judge James Boasberg halted construction between State Highway 1806 and 20 miles east of Lake Oahe until he reached a full decision by Friday. He didn't halt work on the private land west of the highway, however. Speaking for the tribe, a lawyer said, "They're grateful for the partial stoppage, but, quote, disappointed that some of the important sacred sites that we had found and provided evidence for will not be protected." And by not be protected, what that means is destroyed. Because it was very interesting that last week, as the Standing Rock people identified sensitive cultural artifacts on the land in the crosshairs of the Dakota Access Pipeline and disclosed that in court, the next day, the corporate cannibals focused their efforts exactly on the places that the Standing Rock people had identified. Because on the weekend, the bulldozers operated by people who have a great hunger for money and no respect for heritage or rights, they went 20 miles out of their way so they could demolish, destroy, so they could deface sacred sites along the proposed pathway of the big filthy money tube. Then, of course, they, as I noted yesterday, they turned their dogs and their poisonous pepper spray onto the protesters. Survey archaeologists for the Standing Rock people have already identified a number of burial cairns, rock cairns, of considerable historic import on private land in the pipeline route. Some of those, as noted, have now been destroyed deliberately. Tribal Chairman David Archambault II said, on Saturday, Dakota Access Pipeline and Energy Transfer partners brazenly used bulldozers to destroy our burial sites, prayer sites, and culturally significant artifacts. They did this on a holiday weekend, one day after we filed court papers identifying these sacred sites. The desecration, that's the word, of these ancient places has already caused Standing Rock Sioux irreparable harm. We're asking the court to halt this path of destruction. Protests are taking place in North Dakota, as well as in Washington, D.C., at the federal court building itself. In other news inside the court system, today in Ohio, a woman filed what she hopes will become a class action lawsuit against Mylan Pharmaceuticals and the greediest woman on earth, Heather Manchin Bresch. It was filed in the Court of Common Pleas for Hamilton County, Ohio, in Cincinnati, which is, I will remind people who might be getting on airplanes, not Columbus. Linda Bates filed the suit. Her son has to have an EpiPen to keep from dying in case of an allergic reaction. In the court papers, the suit papers, the complaint reads, "The outrageous, unconscionable, and immoral high prices set by defendant is nothing more than price gouging." And the claim is that the price increases violate something called the Ohio Consumer Sales Practices Act. That statute prevents companies from engaging in price gouging in order to take advantage of a person's physical infirmities. The Attorney General of New York is also investigating possible violation of antitrust laws by Mylan Pharmaceuticals. Mylan has contracts in New York to provide EpiPens to school systems. And you may rest assured that school systems didn't go to Mylan. Mylan ran a massive PR campaign to try to make sure that it made its product ubiquitous. And this is just real interesting. If you have followed the news of the burgeoning epidemic of opiate and heroin addictions, and their accompanying overdoses, you know that there is, I hesitate to use the phrase, but in this case I think it's applicable, there is a wonder drug out there. It is called naloxone. That is its generic name. And it reverses, and this is one of those, wow, science is cool. It reverses the effects of an opioid overdose. It can stop somebody from ODing in the midst of the overdose itself. It does so by blocking opiate receptors in the nervous system. Well, consider this. With the rise in demand for the drug, the price, hey, thanks capitalism, has started jumping as well. 3 years ago, a 2 milligram dose of naloxone, brand name Narcan, 3 years ago, a 2 milligram dose of naloxone sold for $15.50. At the beginning of 2015, it went to $25. At this time, as we speak, that same 2 milligram dose of naloxone is $45 a dose. It, too, has achieved a certain amount of ubiquity as law enforcement and first responders but there are efforts out there to make sure that every police cruiser, every officer, every EMS tech, et cetera, has access on an immediate basis to means of administering naloxone so as to save people's lives. Here in West Virginia, the Kanawha County Sheriff's Office gives naloxone to its shift commanders, its assistant shift commanders, and a number of other deputies. Sergeant Brian Humphreys said, "We're looking at giving it to everyone on patrol, but we haven't gotten everything in place just yet." It is truly a life-saving medication. I guess that's why it's tripled in price in the space of 2 years. But hey, guess what? Guess who also makes naloxone? Yeah, that's right. You got it. Mylan Pharmaceuticals, run by political science BS degree holder Heather Manchin Bresch. So now we know why the price is going up.
And hey, because of advances in the formulation of illegal opioid narcotics, it's taking more and more naloxone to pull overdose victims back from the brink of death itself. In fact, and I've remarked on this in the past, street heroin out there, chemists are finding out, is being cut with bathtub fentanyl, which is a synthetic morphine and monstrously more powerful than heroin itself. And it's killing people. And people who go to administer the naloxone are finding that that the ordinary dose doesn't get the job done. Got to hit them again and again. And that's with the bathtub fentanyl that comes from places like Mexico and China. The heroin, meanwhile, is, you know, still coming from, well, you know, Afghanistan, because we created that market. We never talk about it, but we did. Heroin production in Afghanistan had dropped to record lows long about by 2000 or so. But as soon as dim leaders started bombing the bejesus out of Afghanistan, well, the warlords moved back in and ramped up production. And heroin is dirt cheap. You know that old phrase, "Hey kid, the first one's free"? It really happens. There are places where dealers in this country, heroin dealers, will offer free samples of their product. And those free samples can sometimes turn deadly because they've been cut with fentanyl. But now, because, look, we need to understand one thing. The illicit drug trade is the picture-perfect model of pure capitalism. Yes, it's illegal as a matter of law, but it is strictly unregulated supply and demand economics. There's no one out there to make sure. I mean, Keith Richards in his autobiography famously noted that he attributed his survival over the years to the fact that he only use the purest heroin. Well, not everybody has access to that good of stuff, because it is an unregulated free market. No pesky government regulations to get in the way. Manufacturers and compounders can put whatever the hell they want to into their smack, maximize their profit, etc. You know, capitalism. And there's no real, it's not like if you survive a hot dose, you can sue your dealer. It's the ultimate tort reform. And so now what people are finding out, I mentioned Hamilton County, Ohio a minute ago. Well, the coroner in Hamilton County, Ohio, which is Cincinnati, not Columbus, has now identified another drug being mixed into the heroin doses. It is called, I believe, Catanil. It is a veterinary form of fentanyl. And Catanil is used on elephants. So that even a piece of heroin containing Catanil, the size of a snowflake, can be deadly. Or so saith the coroner there in Cincinnati, not Columbus. When people started getting dead in a hurry in the greater Cincinnati, not Columbus area, the coroner's office had to reach out all over the country and even into far socialist Canada in order to get a sample of Catanil, which they could then use to recalibrate their machinery, so that they could accurately analyze what they were dealing with. And what they were dealing with scared them to death. Because, among other things, it was taking 2, 3, 4 doses of naloxone to reverse the overdose process when they could do it. And people who investigate these sorts of things are now carrying naloxone on their persons in case they are exposed to it in even a Catanil cut heroin dose in even the most minute form. Scary, huh? Yes. And the one drug that will stop this naloxone? Well, Mylan Pharmaceuticals and Heather Manchin Bresch are, according to this story from the Charleston Gazette, jacking up the price. Because even at $18 million a year salary, Heather Manchin Bresch still doesn't think she's making enough money. This past June, Senators Susan Collins and Claire McCaskill jointly wrote a letter to Mylan Pharmaceuticals, Amfaster Pharmaceuticals, Pfizer, and Adapt Pharmaceuticals and Kaleo Pharma, asking why the price was going up like it was. In the letter, the two senators said, Congress is working to combat the opioid and heroin epidemic through a multifaceted approach that includes education, treatment, and law enforcement. As one component of this effort, Congress provided funding to help first responders acquire products, including naloxone, to reverse overdose and provide training in their use. We're concerned, therefore, by recent news reports that indicate the rising price for naloxone may be limiting access for emergency responders and public health departments. But see, once again, the answer resides inside the question. Why are they jacking up the price? Because there's an open spigot of money. And if you don't jack up the price, you can't get as much of the money. It's the same thing as from, you know, the God. Just, they, you know, Heather Manchin Bresch just wants to get her beak wet. Because capitalism. Because free market. Because avarice. Because whatever it was that Mr. and Mrs. Manchin told little Heather growing up, the one thing they apparently never told her is that they don't put U-Hauls behind hearses. And it seems that there's no way to reel... Well, not real. It seems there's no way to bring a super predator like Heather Manchin Bresch to heel. Now, see, that because socialism, law enforcement agencies are in some instances reimbursed for the cost of the naloxone. There's something out there called the Appalachian High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area, HIDTA. And it reimburses law enforcement agencies for what they spend on naloxone. There's a wrinkle, though. Fire departments, not being law enforcement, fire departments that also carry Narcan aren't reimbursed. In a relatively little town like Charleston, West Virginia, which, even though a state capital and even though the largest city in West Virginia, really ain't much, their fire department, their EMS, averages 4 uses of naloxone per day. Since the Charleston Police Department started carrying naloxone, they spent $9,284 on it. That's on naloxone and atomizers, about $1,700 for breathing masks, and $4,800 for insulated cases, reaching a total of $15,780. The ceiling for HIDTA reimbursements is $25,000. Under the current contract, one unit of Narcan is $41.50. I misrepresented the name of the elephant pain med. Carfentanil, not catanil. Carfentanil. And that carfentanil was in a batch of heroin that reached Cincinnati, not Columbus, recently, and led to dozens of overdoses. They're now looking backwards to find out how many other ODs were brought on by that. Thanks. Thanks, Heather Manchin Bresch and those other pharmaceutical companies, for jacking up the price with nothing but your own greed to account for it. Ron and Raleigh pointing out, well, hell, this is the free market that all the dim-witted conservatives say they want. It's their dream. Somalia with Cable. Randy points out, I take a generic prescription made by Mylan Pharma. I will be investigating other manufacturers of this generic drug. Mm-hmm. Best to be an informed consumer. Oh, yes. So here we are at 7 p.m. in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. That means I have filibustered the hour away. This is Conversation Radio on Titanic Tuesday. I encourage you to join in the said conversation. You know how to do that, right? The stress line, which works for some, but not for others. 304-663-HORN. 304-663-4676. The other line, 304-574-8178. From anywhere on the planet, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B. K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, Bob Kincaid Horn. That's easy. Email bobkincaid@gmail.com, @BobKincaid on Twitter, and yes, Bob Kincaid on Facebook. It's all right there for you. And as noted, Ralphs has taken the fundraising goal down to $300 to go for the evening. The wild rice offer is still on the table if any of you would like to partake of that. I heartily encourage and welcome you so to do. And we'll just take a little break and see who wants to talk about what here on this here Titanic Tuesday. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back.
Well, I wish I was born 1,000 years ago, and I wish that I sailed the darkened sea on a great big clipper ship. Going from this land into that, in a sailor's suit and cap, away from the big city. Away from the big city, where a man cannot be free of all the evils in this town and of himself around. And I'm closing in on death, and I guess that I just don't know, and I guess that I just don't know. Oh, Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine. Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine.
decision. I'm gonna try to nullify my life. You know I get so low and then the smack flows. I don't care, I'm gonna look at my wife. Cause when the blood begins to flow and it shoots up the dropper's neck,
to thank for that perfect bumper. Billy Idol, Heroin. And this is The Horn, 9 minutes past the hour on the Titanic Tuesday. Let's run straightway over to the stress line, where I dare suspect we have Edward in Dallas. Is that you, Edward? Well, it was a minute ago. Now it isn't. Okay, so over to the other line where I bet it's Tracy. Tracy?
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm muddling along. You know, kind of living the bachelor life now that Agnes is still over with our daughter and the grandbabies and the son-in-law. Helping manage the medical nightmare that continues.
Oops, sorry. Thank you. I'm sorry. I didn't expect that you were going to be talking to me. This is when you know you're a pet parent. Why am I in Petco buying Kimba a pet bed? Shut up.
Yeah, because you're a good mommy and Kimba's your sweet puppy. Yes, you're a baby.
Because she's Kimba. I did not know these things. Okay, this thing is probably better than my mattress. It has memory foam and all.
Oh, quit it.
I don't even have a fucking memory foam.
I can count the individual springs in my mattress as I sleep.
Exactly. You know what? This is where I'm like, you know, Tracy has gone a little bit too far, but it's for Kimba. And I have a coupon.
Well, did Kimba get some rib bones?
Yes, she did. Oh, so you saw my ribs.
I saw the ribs.
You know, I'm very proud of myself. I the whole time I was outside, I had, you know, a beer in one hand and stoking the flames with the other. It was awesome.
Atta girl. Well, you know, a rising aficionado of the barbecue, I have to commend to you on Netflix season 5 of Anthony Bourdain's Parts Unknown.
Oh, okay.
The Charleston, South Carolina episode, which is delightfully devoid of any of the typical stuff you get on anything about Charleston, South Carolina. And in fact, contains a segment. It's not a very long segment, but it's a nice segment on what's right and wrong about what's right and wrong with barbecue.
Okay. Season 5, episode what?
I don't know which episode, but it's season 5. It's on Netflix. Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown, and you'll just see Charleston, South Carolina.
Right. And we both know how much I love me some Charleston.
Well, you'll love this even more, and you'll be starved to death by the time it's over.
Well,
features a segment involving Mr. Bourdain's first trip to a Waffle House, which is absolutely precious.
There's like two things that I care about when I go down south. Because, of course, you know, the closest that I can get to a Waffle House on the West Coast and also a Cracker Barrel is in Arizona.
Well, take a powder on the Cracker Barrel, but
the Waffle House.
The Waffle House is an experience. And, you know, the nice thing is the food is right there in front of you being cooked fresh.
Right.
I mean, it's not like walking into in my case, it's an East Coast thing, Sheetz. Everything that goes into Sheetz either goes into deep fat or goes into a microwave.
Oh.
And that's great. It's good enough, I guess, if you're bombed out of your mind at 1 o'clock in the morning.
And there's no taco truck.
But we ain't got... Somebody got... Please. Somebody. just reach out. If you've got taco trucks in your area... Reach out and say, please, we need an apostle to the hillbillies. Bob needs a taco truck in Fayetteville, West Virginia.
It's like, you know, every time I think about that asshole, Gutierrez, and like I said, is there a Hispanic version of Uncle Tom, for God's fucking sake? Because I hadn't heard... You know, I hadn't heard the interview until you showed that with how movies reacting to a taco truck on every corner.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I listened to him with his broken English and all this, and I'm like,
my culture is a very dominant culture.
Dominant culture.
I mean, it came across like a parody of a goddamn Dos Equis ad. I do not always dominate a culture, but when I do, I dominate the American culture.
Okay, with Dos Equis, and that guy's Jewish. That's the best part about that one. And it's like, wait, hold up. Our culture is a bit... Do you hear what you're saying? Do you understand? I mean, he's no different from Uncle Thomas Clarence. You know, it's just Clarence Uncle Tom Thomas. It's like, really? I ripped that lie. I was never Republican. I didn't lose my mind completely. But I spent the first part, a considerable first part of my life trying to be one of the good ones. You know, the ones that, you know, we got, you know, they will never let us into the secret handshake club, But there's always that carrot that you might just, if you do certain things, if you, you know, stop acting a certain way, or if you don't listen to your music too loudly, or if you, you know, don't dance or act a certain way, and you don't roll your neck or pop your gum, or if your name is not Shanae, Shaniqua, or whatever. You know, I was one of those people, black folks, that looked down on my relatives and actually caught myself saying those people. So I get it. I get it. But like I said, I never lost my mind enough to ever be a Republican. God, at least I had that much sense. But these people who do not realize, they don't get it. They don't like you. Because when they're talking about Mexicans, when they talk about black people or Asians or
right,
whatever.
It's the exact opposite of Sally Fields. You know, that you like me, you really like me. No, it's you don't like me.
No.
You really, really don't like me.
Really don't like me.
For no cogent reason. Right.
Cogent. I mean, did I piss in your cornflakes? You know, did I sleep with your wife? Did I, you know, run over your dog? Or whatever the case may be. What did I do to you, or what has a black person ever done to you personally that you have this, you know, that you have this thing about black people, Hispanic people, or just people who just don't look like or act like you?
Because the answer to your question, Tracy, is actually pretty easy. What have they ever done to, and the answer is they skirt. They scared him.
They're scared. Well, like I told you, the woman who said, you know, the wrath of the black woman. I'm like, bitch, I'm not being wrathful. You don't want, I keep trying to tell folks, y'all don't want to see my wrath. Because once you've seen my wrath, that's scorched earth. You're done. You will never even want to look or talk to me ever again. You will be like thinking about restraining orders if you ever felt the wrath of me. So I'm so tired, you know, like you said, oh, they're so scared. Of what? I'm just as scared about going to jail as the next person. So if you really think, you know, this thing about, you know, of course I'm going to do violence. I keep telling, the only reason why there's a whole lot of white folks still vertical, it's because I would do real time if I did anything to you. Even if I was defending myself, they would find a way to say, well, you know, she didn't, we know how it works. And so I try to keep my distance. But when I hear shit like this, and then the brother with the Uncle Tom bullshit, I mean, the blackface bullshit, it's like, for real, dude? Did you see the videos of, you know, Trumple Thinskin,
yes. Carol Baker, you know, is terribly pleased.
Thank you, Carol Baker. When I saw him in the black church, what was he? Was he swaying? Was he having a stroke? What the fuck was
yeah,
that?
Yeah, see, I don't know. I saw that, and it's hard to deal with a visual like that on radio, Tracy. And I don't know. I got nothing.
Exactly.
But I mean, I think you've done it more justice than anybody could have. Was he swaying or was he having a stroke? It's one stereotype after another. If we wanted to prove that white folks got no rhythm, well, there it was. Everything's a movie reference with me, right?
Yeah.
You know where my mind went when. With the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini up there swaying in the black church.
Where did it go?
You remember Steve Martin's The Jerk?
Yeah.
You remember him standing there and trying to dance and clap in time? That.
Yep, that was it. You nailed it. It's almost it's not almost, it is mind-boggling. I mean, between that and then I have never been so happy, you know how we feel about open carry laws and stuff like that, but my, the Stanford swimmer, I won't even say his name, and the people outside his house in Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
Okay, it is just when I saw that, and the first thing I saw was a bunch of crazy white people with guns and stuff, and then I see the headline, and I damn near peed my pants. I was laughing so hard. I'm like, wow. I mean, because you're used to seeing just those freedom protective folks, and usually they're in front of the NAACP or a mosque or something, protesting, people just being browned. But for them to be protesting, white folks, it touched my heart.
Well, it how can it not?
There was a weekend full of stuff, and then our girl Phyllis Schlafly. Is it Schlafly or Schlafly or the Schlafly?
It's a little tough, Tracy. It's Schlafly.
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 It sounds like something you take penicillin to cure.
Yeah, it does. But of course, I was probably really mean when I posted on the Horn page about, what people are doing because she's dead and special place in hell for her. Bye.
Oh, no. You only thought you were mean, Tracy. I gotta give the cowbell, though, on this one to Michael and Madison.
Oh, what? What
did he? He fixed her like a fly in amber. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. Let me see if I can find. Yeah, there it is. 2016 has taken the lives of many famous men. I have generally been respectful. However, yesterday I posted a somewhat mean joke about the death of conservative icon and vehement opponent of the Equal Rights Amendment, Phyllis Schlafly. I can only assume Schlafly would approve of this unequal treatment. And this engendered an ongoing discussion. I told you never would have made that joke if she'd only stayed home like she said every woman should.
And that's what it was so funny, because the hypocrisy, about a woman's place and all that. Well, bitch, why are you outside talking?
And then there was this from Twitter. Let's treat her like she wanted women treated. Mrs. John Fred Schlafly Jr. died today.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah,
huh?
I had never heard of her. Because until, I started listening, I think there was a while back when you told me, I was like, you were talking about her. I'm like, well, who is this bitch? Right? You told me who she was. And usually I Google people, but I didn't want to have to put that on my computer. So I didn't think much more of her. So often, you would mention her, or somebody would mention her during the show. And so, I knew she was a horrible Polish person, but then I started reading.
Oh, no. Dig deep and you find out. Yeah, she's past horrible. She's past
she's
awful.
Odious. Is that odious? Is that what
she's,
that
yeah,
be,
she's,
that
she's odious. She was odious. She was putrescent, excrescent.
Ooh, excrescent.
Yeah, I'm hauling out my serious art of word knowing words now.
Man, you doing that those SAT words and shit.
And she was. And this is what should be on her tombstone. She was almost single-handedly responsible for maintaining the inequality of women in the United States to this day, and will remain so until such time as we finally do pass the Equal Rights Amendment.
Well, it's by people like her, it's because of people like her that we don't have, you know, Medicare for everybody. It's because, you know, we don't want those other people, because, like, if you pass the Equal Rights Amendment, that means those gay folks is going to get some equal rights as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
she wanted to live, you know, she didn't want to live in Eisenhower's America, Tracy. She wanted to live in William Howard Taft's America. The America before women could vote.
That's
just what it is. And we could take some pleasure, I suppose, or not pleasure, but okay, pleasure. Some hope in the fact that she represents a generation going away.
A generation going away. Her and Nancy Reagan, everybody says, well, she was cared about, stem cell research. Bitch didn't give a fuck about stem cell research.
Until it touched her, right.
It's those people who didn't give a fuck about AIDS until white people started dying. White straight people started dying, And it's like, until you give a fuck about what I'm going through, on a regular basis, because you're an ally, I don't want to hear about what people care about now. Because again, your actions are speaking louder than words, because if you cared about, AIDS and stem cell and all that stuff back in the day, when we could have did something about AIDS.
Sure. And by the way, a piece of advice coming from Ron in the soon-to-be-refrozen North. I mean, it is September now. I'm sure the snow will be flying by week after next. That's facetious. No, he says, remember, with regard to Phyllis Schlafly, dance first, then piss. Dance on the grave, then piss on the grave. Don't piss on the grave and then dance on the grave, because you'll splash piss. You'll splash pee all over yourself. And you want Phyllis to have all the pee.
All the pee. So it's like I wouldn't piss on her if she was on fire, kind of thing.
Yeah, but she's not. Just, get her.
Not yet, anyway. Well, we don't know.
One wonders if she, should she even get her, shouldn't she, be buried on top of her husband, or better yet, dig hubby up and bury her underneath?
Put her here underneath. How long ago did his ass die?
Well, he didn't die. He wasn't dying so much as hiding.
He was hiding. And it's just we got her, and it crushed us when Gene Wilder died, but then, now she's dead. And I'm just
see, there's balance in there's balance in the universe.
There is balance. Yin and yang,
I'm still holding out. That was Fat Dead Tony Scalia was a good one, and Phyllis Schlafly's another one. I'm still holding out for Count Dickula. I may run dancing naked out into the yard over that one. Arrest me, it's okay. Count Dickula is dead.
Is dead.
And then they can take that perfectly nice heart and give it to a decent human being.
See, that's what kills me.
That just occurred to me, Tracy. That may be a great moment in medical science. We can find out when Count Dickula will hurry up and shuffle off this mortal coil. We can find out if a donated heart can be recycled into a third body.
But knowing him,
because that was a young, healthy heart. and they transplanted it into his evil, nasty old body. And if he'll just shuffle off the mortal coil, they can take it out of him. And then the heart can be rehabilitated by living inside a decent human being.
But knowing him, because of the selfish, horrible...
Oh, no, that son of a bitch isn't an organ donor. No damn way.
You know, he's not an organ donor, and even if he were, he would make sure that he has to make sure that that heart is has had irreparable damage so that no one else could use it again. You're like, you're right. You know he's no fucking organ donor. Come on, player. And to me, you know what? To me, I think it should be required.
I don't think that... No, no, no. Well, wait. I don't think the undead are allowed to register as organ donors. sir, can you see your reflection in a mirror? No. Sorry.
No.
Oh, Tracy, I tell you what... I've got calls rolling in here, and hopefully they will keep on rolling. I hope you had a successful trip to Petco.
Yes, I did.
This is not a paid advertisement for Petco.
No, but she has her bed, and I will.
Did Kimba get to go with you?
Well, the only reason why she didn't come with me is because I came straight from work, so she's at home waiting for mommy to come home with her new bed, and I should be home. I'll be home before the show is over, so we'll see. And I'll take pictures of Kimba looking at her bed, like, you know. But Mom, I'd rather be on the couch.
Yeah, see, that's going to be the funny thing. You've got it. You've got a $75 dog bed now that she'll take, and she'll put her. She'll use it. She'll use it as her toy box, and won't lay in it because it's too nice.
It's too nice. So there you go.
Meanwhile, I'll be waiting for a review of it's Tony Bourdain, Parts Unknown, Season 5, and just says Charleston. It's on Netflix.
When you see
that whole roasted pulled pork pig, you're gonna cry.
Oh, that's right. I'm at the store. I think I should get a picnic rope pork pig. Oh. I think I know what I'm doing this weekend.
Get to it.
So anyway, did you mention the $25 challenge? I don't know if you.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't, because I was off the air. I was a bad father last night. I had to. I forgot that I'd kind of left Margie at work, and so I knocked. As soon as I realized, I knocked off and went and picked her up from work. You know, late because I'm a bad father. But I didn't mention that because I was on the way out the door. You want to put that on the table?
I'll mention it now.
Okay.
Yes.
Tracy has a $25 challenge on the table. She will match the next $25 that come in, which will take us down to $250 in fundraising to go. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you very kindly. And in the interim, I'll notify you if and hopefully when it gets met. All right. Talk to you later, Tracy. Drive carefully. There's crazy people out there.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I know.
Talk to y'all later.
Later. Night. Bye now. The one and only Tracy, the lady cab driver, calling from Petco somewhere in the far reaches of the wilds of Los Angeles. Ron in the far, soon-to-be-frozen north says, Phyllis Schlafly's husband was the blessed one. He got to check out well in front of her. Because he wanted to. Meanwhile, a note from Danny in Baton Rouge. Subject line, my naloxone. Of course I'm listening, as I need a fix from the long weekend without listening to you. Interesting you mentioned naloxone. I have two auto-injectors, one that stays in my house and the other is in a bag satchel I carry every day, no ugly briefcase. Everyone in my life, friends, family, co-workers, neighbors, anyone that knows me, I have to demonstrate the 5 seconds it takes to use it and jam the two needles in my thigh should they ever find me unconscious from an OD. It comes with a tester that's just like the pick, but says trainer, and it speaks and counts down from 5 to 1, just like the two real ones. So you can actually physically show somebody how to do it with the tester. Anywho, as I've been on a rotation of fentanyl, OxyContin, and morphine as my extended-release pain management drug since 2000 due to my spinal fusions and all-around shitty spine, I have two of these single-dose injectors should someone find me unconscious or unresponsive. It can save my life. Yes, unfortunately, I've come too close to ODing from taking too many opiates trying to get out of my pain. As you rightly mentioned, the opioid or opiate addiction in this country is insane. I'm shocked that anyone would take fentanyl for a high, as I never get that benefit. I wish I did, in return for the horrid side effects and absurd and criminal prices of 16-plus years of this, but I know well that people do. I have to carry all my vials of meds on me, as people have stolen them from me in the past. Oh, believe you me, Danny, we're even conversant with that. It was many, many years ago when a much, much smaller Ferg had his tonsils out. They said they were his adenoids. They said they were the biggest adenoids. The docs said the biggest adenoids he'd ever seen. And we were sent home with a prescription of liquid Vicodin. For Ferg's pain after the surgery. And a neighbor lady came across the street, asked to use the bathroom. And when it was time for Ferg's medicine, we found that his little bottle of liquid hydrocodone was gone. It's just gone. Just disappeared. Just kind of, poof, out into the universe. Yeah. Next thing you know, the neighbor across the street was wandering around in the yard with a kind of a dreamy look on her face. Danny, people do. People do. Danny continues, everyone knows where the keys are to my house as they all help take care of my pets when I'm out of town. The fentanyl patches I can't carry around as they're heat sensitive, thus I can't leave them in my bag and in my car, for example. It's too damn hot here. Ready for the thrill of the crime that is the pharmaceutical industry in the USA? For two single-dose injectors of naloxone, my insurance was billed the retail price of $4,480. Yes, you read that right. The entire sick care industry, including Big Pharma, is nothing short of the biggest crime and theft of money in one country in the entire history of humanity. And it's only not a crime and called business, well, because money. They buy the politicians for a relatively cheap price, if you ask me, and then they spend more buying the media and spreading propaganda under the guise of news, public discourse, yada yada, and the rubes that are the electorate of this country lap it up like a Dixie cup of water to a $12 whore lost in the Sierra. The attached photograph is the injector that is on my mantle all the time. Months ago, I can't remember how long, my pain management doctor told me the CDC came out with a new index-like measure of rating, what is a fatal dose of all the opiates a patient like me takes. This was stemming from the runaway opiate addiction we have, and now the widespread use of IMF, illegally manufactured fentanyl, is killing so many people that they're also concerned with long-term pain management patients like me. Like cocaine or heroin that drug dealers cut with anything they can to make it stronger or to make their supply stretch and make more money. Non-pharmaceutical grade fentanyl is killing people like the proverbial dropping flies, as the users have no idea what's in their IM fentanyl. If the dealer even knows what's in the IMF, I'd be surprised. I could yak forever about hardcore pain meds, our alleged healthcare system, especially the pharmaceutical industry. So I'll stop, or we'll still be talking in the morning. Thanks. Meaningless Danny. And drug addict too. P.S. That wretched witch, Phyllis, is dead. Yippee! And you know what, Danny? This probably is a subject that deserves to be talked about till morning. Because it's complicated. And one of the most horrid complications of it all is the fact that there are people like you and like others that I know who depend on these pain medications for survival, and for whom, used properly, they work, and they don't get you high. they let you be normal. Because being in a state of constant hellish pain isn't normal. But we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater because, you know, after all, we got to be tough on drugs. Tough on crime. You know, if we let Donald Trump be president, he'll be tough on crime. And that dickhead in the Philippines, Duterte, who just wants to extrajudicially kill everybody who he decides needs to die to win his country's war on drugs. Fuck a bunch of law or due process. The due process you get is the process you do. Sadly, he didn't say that. A member of the Obama administration said that. Yeah, right. But it deserves greater inquiry, Danny, and it deserves greater attention. And I'm glad you brought it up and perhaps helped to make the issue real or more real for people who, I would dare say, with regard to the Horn Family Community Congregation, sympathize and empathize, but didn't fully comprehend. And now let's run over to the stress line and see if we've got Edward. Is that you, Edward?
Yes, I'm here.
Hallelujah. I am so glad to hear from you.
Well, I'm having trouble with my phone. Anyway, I just wanted you to let me turn the speakerphone off.
Okay.
Are we off?
Only you know that, Edward.
Yeah, we're off. Okay. I just wanted you to know, if you haven't heard, the Dallas Morning News has refused to endorse Trump.
And that's a bit of a departure for them, is it not? I mean, they endorse Republicans sort of out of hand, don't they?
Well, they do, but they're not endorsing Trump, and they said he's not qualified to be president.
Well, I'll bet you there'll be a gang of howling Trumpansies outside the offices by sunup.
Oh, I don't know. Hillary is 1 point ahead of Trump here in Texas.
Stop it! No.
That's really great for Texasistan.
Well, no, really, you're not kidding. She's a point in the polling down there. She's up statewide by a point.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
No, I said she really is up statewide.
Yeah, one point ahead of Trump.
That's shocking. I can't imagine it will last, but...
I couldn't believe it. I told my partner, I said, would you please go get the smelling salts for me? I'm going to faint. Oh, man. Oh, I also wanted to tell you that West Texas seems to have gone through their tribulations pretty well. They're in the business of making kolaches again.
Oh, they were making them when I was there. What, 3 years ago?
Yeah, but they're really doing it now.
Oh, mercy!
I mean, every oven in that town is just cooking away.
Oh, that remains firmly ensconced in my memory of just, oh God, those things were delicious.
Yeah, they sure were.
And that long display case of like a million different kinds.
Maybe I want my partner to drive me down to West so I can get some.
Oh, are you?
Well, I hope so. Oh, I wanted to tell you something about the Star Spangled Banner.
Yes.
When I was a kid, they passed out copies, printed copies, of the Star Spangled Banner on the streets because nobody knew the words. We kept our copy for a long time, and of course my aunt set me down and made me memorize it right off the bat.
Wow.
Yeah. So we had copies of the Star Spangled Banner.
And that would be North Carolina?
Yeah, Eastern North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Down in Moorhead City, they passed them out on the street. So, anyway...
just the one verse, or all four?
Uh, It was just, well, you would ask me that. That was a long time ago. And I don't quite remember whether it was the whole thing or just the first verse.
Well, see, deeply incisive journalism is my business, Edward. I have to ask the hard questions.
I know.
Hey, I wanted to tell you, I love the photograph of you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. It wasn't very good. All they got was my head. But that lady there in the long green dress, she came up and grabbed me, and I'm in a wheelchair when I go down to the functions at the art museum. I can walk around the house, but I can't stand for a long period of time. And she grabbed me, and there we were dancing. Had a good time.
It looked like she was having a good time. I couldn't see the front of your face, but I was assuming a smile.
It was. Oh yeah. Yeah. So, I was going to tell you something else, and I forgot what it was. I have my senior moments every now and then when things go right out of my head.
You don't have to be a senior to have those moments, or else I'm already one. So don't worry about it, Edward. But
don't admit to it.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, you slice it. I'm tickled pink to hear from you. And, you know, let me know. I mean, somebody there is handy with a camera. When you get down to West, take a picture of that long row of kolachkis. I mean, that, oh, my God. Oh, just the thought of it. And there's so much other good stuff in there, too.
Oh, yeah.
I remember bringing back a jar of, like, it was like jalapeno butter. You know, like apple butter, only with jalapenos. Oh, dear God. I mean, it burnt my hair follicles, but it was, it was tasty. Oh, it was so good.
Well, you know, that guy was talking about a taco truck on every corner. That sounds real good to me. I would add some fajitas and some Corona to wash it down with, though.
Here, here. Absolutely. I just wish they'd just send one up here. Just one.
Well, I haven't seen any on my corner out here yet, but I'm waiting.
Yeah, no taco trucks for us, but we did get a new Bojangles. I don't think it was a fair trade.
Oh, well. Maybe you'll get a taco truck. They'll feel sorry for you.
It would be mighty fine if we would. I mean, it just... But I'm with you on the fajitas, too. A little squeeze of lime. Yeah. Grilled onions. Mm-hmm. Yep, right there.
Let me ask you if I have your phone numbers correct.
Sure.
The stress line is 304-663-4676.
That's one.
How about the... And the other one is 304... excuse me. 304... 574-8178.
That is correct as well.
Okay, I have trouble with the stress line because it's, I don't know how I sound to you, but you sound rather gravelly.
Well, you sound, here, let me tweak something here. You sound magnificent.
Well, wonderful.
And as long as I can be understood, you're actually hearing a different feed from what's going out of the stream, so it works out. And so, and the thing is, with that other line, when you were trying to get in on that, that's the same computer that brings in the Skype. And so if somebody's on Skype, I'm kind of stuck.
Uh-huh. Okay, so the 574-8178 is the one that Skype comes in on.
Right.
Okie dokie. Well, I'll still call on the stress line, and I always think of Mr. Stress when I call on that line.
Well, he's very much in my mind. I had a note from Ron who, as he was traveling back to Canada, Edward said, "I'm pleased to report that when I drove through Cleveland on the way back to the land of sanity, I was thinking a lot about Mr. Stress." There was a remark. He said there was a remarkable moment when I felt like I was surrounded by a big smile. The car, he said, the car felt faster, my heart felt lighter, and my gas mileage improved. Sirius Radio started playing an old Flat and Scruggs song. I think it came on with a wailing harmonica, and I knew I had received some sort of approbation.
Well, I always enjoyed listening to him talking and his stories about the music business and all of that stuff. So, I really enjoyed listening to him.
I'm so glad that you know that there's an archive of those things out there. One of these days, we should make a project of just stringing a whole bunch of Mr. Stress calls together, and maybe, I don't know, maybe putting them out on a CD or something for his friends. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Was he from Cleveland?
Born and bred. He was the first baby of New Year's Day, and in what 1944, he was the first baby born on New Year's Day in Cleveland in the year in which he was born, and he lived out his life there. Did some traveling around, but he lived out his life there. And man, did he love to fish.
Well, you know, something just popped into my head. Talking about the Star Spangled Banner and what. When I was a child, I listened to the funeral of President Franklin Roosevelt on the radio. And the band played his favorite song, which was Home on the Range. We could have had that for a national anthem.
It probably beats the Dickens out of a song that celebrates killing slaves.
Well, I tell you, the people have a lot of trouble singing the Star Spangled Banner because it has a range of an octave and a half, and most people are lucky to have an octave range in their voice.
And the funny thing is that, if I understand correctly, the original tune was a British beer hall drinking song. So maybe if in its original form, it really didn't matter if you had an octave and a half range because the drunks weren't paying attention.
Well, that's probably true. I think it was a drinking song, as far as I remember.
Of all the drinking songs out there, I just can't imagine that. Can you, Edward? I mean, it doesn't. There's nothing. There's the tune, the melody of the Star Spangled Banner, doesn't really lend itself to tying one on and clinking mugs, does it?
I'm sorry, I did not understand what you said.
Well, not surprising. I don't know if I did. That tune. I can't imagine getting all worked up and hoisting mugs while singing it. It's not like. 99 bottles of beer on the wall or anything.
Oh, no. It's really difficult to sing. And, of course, the German national anthem that they're not allowed to sing anymore, Deutschland, Deutschland über alles, which is a beautiful song. It's too bad that they messed up the whole thing. But, and the French, they do pretty well, too.
And of course, the French national anthem is rather a bloody affair, too.
Which one is?
The French national anthem, Le Marseillais.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty bloodthirsty.
Oh, very. It's very bloodthirsty. I always think of that woman with naked to her waist, marching with these men down wherever they were marching from. I always think of that. That's quite a memory from my French class in high school.
Yeah, what is it? Aux armes citoyens, formez vos bataillons. To arms, form your battalions, march, let us march, let us march, let us march.
Right.
And then something about something about impure blood.
I had to remember the words to it, and I can't.
Consanguinpur. Me either. Edward, it's been a lovely conversation. I'm always so glad to hear from you. Please convey my warmest regards to your partner, and you know, just watch out. There's a lot of trumpansies down there.
Yeah, and I I'll try to get the next picture I get of myself to send you. It will maybe be a little bit better, and not just that way. It's sort of the side of my head and the back of my head. Now, I had a friend there. In fact, she's from Lebanon, and she had an iPhone or something that she could take pictures on, and her picture was the best one. Maybe I should get one from her.
See if you can, indeed. And when you get down to West, I'm serious. I need a photo of that long case of kolachkis, and then I need a picture of you, Edward, with your own kolachki, grinning like the Cheshire Cat.
Smeared all over my face.
And I, for one, will take considerable vicarious joy in it.
Well, good. I hope so. I sort of wandered tonight, but I think I'm getting to that point in my life when I do wander a little bit when I'm talking.
No, I don't. You haven't wandered at all. It has been a delightful conversation, as it always is, Edward.
Well, thank you very much. Sometime I'll tell you what I did to Detroit.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Why I was asking for Mr. Fred. Mr. Stress was from Cleveland. I did something rather unusual in Detroit.
Well, then I will wait for the next call, because you can't just dangle that hook in the water and not have me come swimming up to it. Okay.
Okay. Well, I will. It's something rather unusual.
and I am sure delightful into the bargain. Edward, have a wonderful
evening. I don't know
how
delightful it is, but I tell you, it was unusual.
Very good, very good, Edward. I look forward to it. You have a great evening.
You do too.
All right.
Nice.
Bye now. The one and only Edward calling from Dallas. A couple of notes before we go to the next call. With regard to Count Dicula and my theory of finding out if a decent heart can be recycled, Steve in New York, subject line, Count Dicula, the joke's on us, Bob, vampires don't die. I don't know. There's something about a wooden stake in there. Just saying. Right? Oh, and I've got a happy announcement to make. It has recently come to my attention, because he's been away from the comment space for a little while, and now I know why. I'm proud to announce the addition of a new member to the Horn Family Community Congregation. Brother Deacon Asa and his lovely and genial spouse, whom I'm not sure if she wants her name mentioned, so I'll just leave it at that, have brought into the world a little 9-pound, 4-ounce feller who is the picture of health, and I have seen the photograph, and the little guy in his first photograph is holding up his left foot, giving the peace sign with his big toe and his index toe. This is called a good portent. So many, many congratulations, and welcome to planet Earth. Some of us will continue to work to make sure that it's a decent place for you to grow up in, young man. Welcome. Okay, and let's see here. A note coming from another member of the fraternity of Steve. Subject line, equal rights, etc. For whom? Why talk even casually about equal rights in a country where the retirement age has to go up whenever folks get a few more years on the life expectancy table? Even while they work their asses off like crazy and are in fact the most productive people on earth. Even while the geniuses who give us economic prosperity and finally get around to giving us Medicare at 65 years of age cannot, since 1983, see fit to give us the cash to go along with it until age 66 or 67 or beyond. Do you understand that we're living in a place where people seriously consider beating the devil at his own game? By the way, those self-indulgent French who hardly work for a living anyway and make too much of stinking cheese and mediocre wine as they sit around the cafe bitching about the ridiculous Americans. Those silly French are on the way to lowering the retirement age to 60. Because after all, 62 means you lose a big pile of euros on your way to the grave. Regards. Steve in China. And that's so true. And it's such a pain in the ass that people like me are radicals because we suggest that instead of letting miserable right-wingers and conservative Democrats and merchants of bullshit in general try to run the Social Security retirement age up because we're all living longer. No, you are. We ain't. There's those that work and those that don't. They don't. We do. We ought to be lowering the retirement age to, you know, 50, to 60, to 55. Because if you think about the length of time that a person spends devoting his or her life to the cause of corporate capitalism in the United States, half of a life is enough. But try to get Emery and Marveline on board with that. Good luck. Yeah. And we are fast approaching the end of the program. We've got 58 minutes or so left in it. And we've got a challenge on the table, courtesy of Tracy, $25. If somebody else will kick in 25, she'll kick in 25. And that'll take us down to $250 to go in fundraising. And frankly, holes like this make bill paying rather of a stringent challenge. So I sincerely hope somebody will meet Tracy's challenge and that then there will be further movement so that we don't do tomorrow's program, prayer meeting Wednesday, with me having to have the deacons bolt the doors. Brother Deacon Asa will be off on paternity leave, I presume. And we won't have to bolt the doors with a, you know, $500 fundraising hole. Okay. Let's run over to one of the two lines where I suspect Todd is waiting. Are you there, Todd?
I'm here. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm here. You're there.
You there? Yeah. Well, hope your digestive tract is doing all right.
It's been behaving tolerably well.
Well, that's good. I can imagine it's hard to deal with. Boy, Tracy was making me hungry talking about the ribs, and she was excited about being on her grill.
Oh, it's torment. She does that just because she knows that I'm powerless to do a damn thing about it. And that, you know, my options after 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time are pretty much limited to gas station pizza.
Right. You know, I'm just back in town now. I really was up there in the Asheville area. And it was interesting because there was a wreck. You know, they had these switchback roads going up the mountain. I mean, when I say switchback, these are like 40, part of it was 45 degrees going up, you know.
Yeah, as the saying goes, one looked like a can full of worms, another one looked like a malaria germ.
You know, and this car, we had just been up the mountain. I had to go up and down twice, like, that morning. And that car was not there hours before, and you couldn't, it looked like it was a compactor, okay? So, and that was the same day that you said you saw a wreck on that bridge.
Which, by the way, if I may interrupt, I found out the denouement of the whole thing. It was horrifying to behold. And when I went to pick up Margie at work one night, one of the police officers was standing outside the building, and I walked up to him and just engaged in conversation. I said, look, I'm the one that called that thing in. Can you tell me, did anybody, I just want to know that nobody died. He goes, nah, nobody died. She was drunker than shit. And she said, and she said she hit that parked forklift at 70 miles an hour and no brakes.
That's crazy.
He went on to tell me that her engine, the engine block was up under her seat and that she didn't have a scratch on her. And I said, well, did you take her to the hospital or jail? He said, oh, no, we took her straight to jail. Right after she blew the .25.
Shit. That's like three times what? It's .08.
Yeah, that's more than three times the legal limit.
Yeah.
Mm. He said, yeah, we've been chasing her all day. He said one officer saw her bobbing and weaving all over the highway, but she got away from him, got home. By the time he pulled up at her house, she was sitting there on the porch drinking again, so we couldn't get her then.
Damn.
I extended the conversation a little bit. I said, well, I'm glad nobody died. He said, well, yeah, we are too, and, you know, we're glad she didn't kill anybody either. And I said, well, that goes double. I mean, I was the guy who was on the road beside her.
That's not, you know. Okay.
But I said, I still think somebody should probably reach out to the foreman of that construction crew, because they still have drunk or sober, Todd. Because, you know, we get a lot of tourists around here who can get turned around pretty quick on mountain roads. And the way she got onto the bridge is still wide open. And what happens when that's a confused tourist with a Volvo full of kids?
Yeah. Right. I mean, I'm not trying to be biased against Southerners, but one thing I've noticed since I've been here.
You about to say we all can't drive?
No. Well, that's another.
Because if you don't, I will.
Well, you know, all right, my state is a second or third worst. South Carolina is the second or third. I mean, this.
Oh, no. One flake of snow flies in South Carolina, and it's martial law. We know that.
It's unholy. And forget about a turn signal. It's like, oh, that takes too much energy. I just can't do it. You know.
There's a lot of see, that's because you're not from around there. Everybody else can just sense when somebody's getting ready to turn.
You know, I was turning, goddamn it. Right.
See, wait. You've been down there too long. You did that way too well, Todd.
Oh, I have neighbors, man. I got neighbors. God damn. No, but seriously.
Now, a million years ago, I was almost married to a lovely young woman who, if I was driving, and especially in my hometown, she'd come over to visit from Atlanta, where she felt like people could drive, and I was like, you crazy. And she'd say, no, they really can't drive here. And we'd be out on the road, and she'd say, you get around him. You pass him right now. You know that little son of a bitch ain't got a lick of insurance.
Oh, my God. And then when you question people, I've been driving since I was 14 years old. Can't tell me how to drive, goddammit. I'm like, well, maybe you've been driving badly since you were 14. You know, I don't even know how we got on this. Well, I know how we got on. Yeah, but it's the driving. I'm scared. It's frightening. I can't even go fucking three blocks without somebody making some dumbass move on the road. I mean, it's so anyway, when we were up in the mountains, I was done, man. At nighttime, and you talk about dark. I mean, it's beautiful up there. I think it's the lower Blue Ridge. That might be part of Asheville.
No, you're right. Asheville, you're in the kind of Smokies area.
Okay, I had to take the old people up there. They got a timeshare. One of those. Do you understand that these people they're in a gated community and they like rent part of it out, but they had everything they need is within that gated community. There's stores, bar. They just ride the golf cart to the bar. You know, they don't even have to leave. But I don't know.
I hate to admit it because it's a total violation of my plebeian sensibilities, Todd, but that sounds pretty enticing. Right. I mean, and you know, it's kind of old school in its own way. You know, there used to be communities where you could walk to the pub, walk to the bar, and stagger home from the bar.
Like, well, that's what it's like in the city. listen, you right. There was a bar, like every two blocks, there's a bar on the corner, you know? And that's your corner, your proverbial corner bar, right, exactly.
And a corner grocery and, you know, a barber shop to hang out at and a place to get your hair did. And yeah.
You know, there was something to be said for that type of living.
We were a one-car family when I was a little boy. And when my dad would have the car at work, usually on either the 8 to 4 or, those were the 8 to 4 days, then we wouldn't have anything to do. My mom would just take me by the hand and say, you know, let's walk to the shopping center. And it was probably a mile and a half, 2 miles. And so there's my little 5-year-old legs pumping for all they're worth. And you know, my mom didn't think nothing of walking 2 miles. And there was a grocery store up there and an ice cream shop and clothing stores and drug store. And we'd just window shop, walk around. She'd buy me something, you know, ice cream cone, something like that. Stop for a hamburger, a hot dog. And it obviously it's in my memory, so it was precious. And
that's a beautiful thing.
And you know, there were hills to climb and go down, and we'd hike up the hill, and my mother and I would then run down the other side together. It was almost like a little microcosmic. She would tell me, she said, you know, when I was a little girl growing up, everything was like this. Everything was hills. And that, I think that went a long way toward, you know, I've always loved walking. And I have, you know, a long stride and like to, you know, and man, she'd walk fast. And she wasn't a big woman, but she wasn't tiny either, but I mean, she'd take long strides and we'd, you know, we'd get there and get back. And, you know, 4-mile hike for a 5-6-year-old little boy is not small change. Maybe that was part of her wisdom, because, you know, wore my busy little 5-year-old ass out. I was ready for a nap when we got back.
Yeah, that was part of the plan. See, I've noticed it when I babysit or whatever, that I learned, you know, you run the kids ragged until they get tired, right? Yeah. But yeah, you know, like where I grew, you know, Philadelphia is a walking city, especially, you know, what they call old city now, downtown. Most northeastern cities are compact, you know, in the center anyway. But you could get some, you know, and there's so much to see. You walk everywhere. There's bars, restaurants, and stores, and, you know, walking is good. It's good for your mind. It's, you know, people watch. It's a good thing. But, hey, listen, have you ever been to the Daily Coast website?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not a daily visitor or anything, but.
Okay, well, I kind of am. They have interesting stories, but they have this, it's like a conglomerate graph of polls, right? I'm going to politics for a second. And Hillary's numbers, I mean, her percentage for winning keeps dropping, right? And first of all, I don't believe these polls. All I see is people ashamed to say they're going to vote for Trump, but there's a lot of people that are going to vote for it. I hate this. I said his name. I didn't mean to say it. But yeah.
As long as you don't say it 2 more times, he won't appear in your house. It's like Beetlejuice.
God, no, please. I won't be able to sleep.
Well, and apparently it's not just Daily Coast. I'm looking at something from 538 right now. Headline: Election update. Clinton's lead keeps shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives me the fantods. Because, I'm one of those people who does not think that this is any kind of a shoe-in. I mean,
no.
This sounds a little too much like, you know, Ouija board politics. But when I go to a group page on Facebook, Todd, and it's called Liberals in America 2016, and the first thing that I see, or, you know, progressive for liberal values, you know what I mean.
Right, right.
And the first thing I see is a link to some cockamamie quack doctor saying he's going to use the same methods the CIA uses to diagnose Hillary Clinton's desperate illness from afar. And his first reference is something that he read on Info Fucking Wars.
Oh, please.
And this video goes on for 15 damn minutes, and someone claiming to be a progressive posted it. I know we're in trouble. See, I was having a conversation on Twitter earlier today, and I'm not being mean or anything. I don't. It's out there. I mean, you can look at my timeline. But the statement was made, you know, Stein supporters will not be held responsible if Hillary loses. And my response was that cannot be factually asserted until after the election. Because it has everything to do with what the margin of victory or the margin of loss is. And if she loses, and the margin of her loss is inside the number of votes that Jill Stein received, rightly or wrongly, okay? And at this point, I'm not gooning on Jill, and I'm not gooning on the Greens. But rightly or wrongly, Jill Stein and the Greens will be blamed. And here's the important part of this analysis, if it can be said to be analysis or important, Todd. You tell me. Mm-hmm. We're progressive people, right? We're liberals.
Correct.
We think that the answer to America's many woes can be found in progressive liberal politics. We therefore want to see progressive liberal politics actually enacted into full-on U.S. government policy. Still with me?
Of course.
Are we still in agreement?
Yes.
If you've got people who claim that they are the purest progressives, and there is even the most remotely colorable claim that they were responsible for putting Donald Trump into the White House, I ask you a question, Todd. What does that do to progressive politics for the next generation? Doesn't it render us toxic? Doesn't it render us poisonous? Doesn't it render us Judas goats into the chute?
Tainted meat. Yes.
I mean, the brand at that point, if we can, because we have to speak in capitalist terms, at that point, Todd, the brand is ruined.
It's ruined. You gotta start. See, and I was listening to you the other day, you're talking about maybe the negatives of a third party. And you know what we have to do? I hate to emulate the dicks, but they, you know, the Tea Party, because they had help, or for whatever reason, or that whole side, they're very good at giving terrible names or good names to terrible legislation, and they're very good at organizing, right? So they've got the state houses. They started bottom up, right? And that's how you affect change, really. You know, you got to start local and then work out, because you got to groom people. Now, right, so what I'm trying to say now is that we have to get into the root of the Democratic Party now and just change it, co-opt it. This trying to be, like, Clinton, it started with Clinton. You know, he out-Republicaned the Republicans, right? Once he got in, he just fucked shit up. I mean, the economy was going to be good anyway. He just got lucky because the internet was booming. That was a big boost. I mean, that's just is my opinion, obviously, but... you know what I mean? We have to co-opt the party now. We've got to, because there's not enough.
Well,
time
but there's space. But there's not enough of us who are willing to do that. Now, if you could get, and this is what Bernie was trying to do, but there are a certain number of people that want nothing to do with the idea. Bernie was trying to get independents, and you know, progressive independents, young people, into the Democratic Party, so that they could then affect that change. And it started, it really, you know, there were things that happened in the platform. And yes, the platform matters. But there aren't enough of us for some of us to be doing that work and another splinter of us to be off in the weeds.
Right.
And, you know, right. I took grief and I hurt somebody's feelings last week. And, you know, I don't give a good goddamn if some wingnut Trump pansies gets all butt hurt. They live to be butt hurt. But I don't like hurting people on this side of the discussion's feelings, and I don't like hurting members of this community's feelings, and I did last week, and I regret that. And one of the things that hurt was the fact that I referred to Jill Stein as an idiot. I'd like to take this moment, Todd, during your call, sorry, to retract that. I don't think she's an idiot. But I will not retract the fact that I think, and this is, you know, so I'll get another letter saying, no, that hurts too, Bob, sorry. I think she's a fool. Or at the very least, Todd, she's on a fool's errand. Is that fair?
You know, well, you know, at this point, yes, because like I have sent other people messages before, you know, this is when we have to play defense. There is no time to play. This is no play time, okay? I listen to Jeff Rentz's radio program, and if you don't know, he's a neo-Nazi, right? Just because I have to know what the other side is up to.
I get it. Right? I get it. And then you hit yourself in the neck with a Thorazine dart, right?
Right. Until I vomit. And I have to, you know, wash my mouth out, brush my teeth, and, you know, get something to eat. But this is before David, you know, David Duke always had a little spot on his network. He would have a little show for a couple hours. And the climate, just like David Duke said, he said, oh, the climate is right. And so now, of course, he's running for Congress or House or Senate, you know, in Louisiana. Because he knew that the time was right. The climate was right. And that was with the advent of Trump, when Trump really started to take off. Ugh. His name, when the fascist weirdo started to take off. And now the former Klansman has a much more prominent slot on the network. See, this is why I'm concerned. And see, I don't care what the polls say. I listen to the Washington Journal almost every morning. And the people who call in and contribute, I'm not talking about the guests or politicians or mouthpieces. Not the people who call in, okay? They're mostly older, or they sound older. I'm pretty sure they're older. And they vote. Old people vote of different races. These are motivated people. In other words, politically motivated people. So they vote. Otherwise, they wouldn't get up that early and listen. Now, 75%, I've been keeping track, of these people are voting for Trump. And there's a lot of black folks who are going to vote for Trump. And this shit is scary.
Well, see, we've talked about that, and I'll take your word for it. But goddamn, Todd.
Oh, it's disgusting. Right. That's, come on. Right. But you see, people, remember, the two most popular candidates through this whole thing were Bernie and the weirdo fascist. Because people are desperate now. They want an outsider. Right? So they're willing to take a chance. And, you know, and now we've had, what, two or three generations of dumbed down people because public education is failing. They don't even understand civics. They don't, people still think it's one person, one vote. See, this is what I'm scared of. I am concerned that Trump will win the popular vote, but Hillary will win the electoral college, and our Supreme Court is broken.
Well, the Supreme Court really has nothing to do with it.
Well, they're going to pick.
No, they won't.
It doesn't work like that. They're not going to do it like they did with Gore? If that scenario plays out?
No. That's not how it worked with Gore.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, don't apologize. How it works is if there's a tie in the... if there's a tie in the Electoral College vote, it gets thrown to the House. And then the House picks. The House holds a ballot.
I need to brush up on my civics. I'm talking so much shit.
Now, the Supreme Court got involved in Bush v. Gore because Bush sued Gore, claiming that Bush would, and he sued in what's called for what's called an extraordinary remedy. I think it was a writ of mandamus. And that in that suit, he said that he would be irreparably harmed if all the votes in Florida were counted. And the Supreme Court said, absolutely right. Because that Republican majority said, you know, if you count all the votes in Florida, he's going to lose. So that qualified as irreparable harm. And thus the Supreme Court installed George W. Bush as president of the United States. And every last little bit of hell and damnation that flowed from that nightmare decision. And if we don't put the only thing that needs to be put on Sandra Day O'Connor's tombstone when she goes to her long home is Sandra Day O'Connor, Bush v. Gore. She chose Bush.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, and I remember her. She wrote part. I remember reading part of her opinion or the reason she voted that way. I was disappointed with her. With that, I do remember that. Yeah, that changed world history forever in a negative way. So I did some research. I was going through some Latin, and it turns out Rudolph Giuliani, you know what his Latin name is?
No.
Dictatius Maximus.
Do it again?
Dictatius Maximus.
kind of like Biggest Dickus.
He's such an ass. Every time I see him now, my skin crawls. He needs to go home somewhere. You know what? I have a couple of things I want to send you for a premium. Do I just send them to the post office box?
Well, what you can do is, if you want, we can just save the postage. We'll put the premium out there. I'll tell you who to send them to.
Okay, that'll work. And they're seasonings. You know, with Jane's Crazy Salt, Tracy uses it, so you know it must be good. And a couple of other things, and we'll work it out. It's a trio of seasoning.
Oh, beautiful!
And you can set up, you know, however you want it to play out. And I already have the envelope. I have a padded envelope to send it out. So what I'll do is I'll email you with the exact specifics, and then you can put it on air, and everything will be kosher.
Excellent. Is the seasoning kosher?
Everything is kosher, yeah. Not that I'm like, you know, I caught myself. I guess I'm getting old. Maybe, I don't know, I don't want to offend anybody, but I have so many Jewish friends, you know.
No. I was just playing on the word. You know, you said everything will be kosher, yeah. So does that include the seasonings? Right.
Yep. It's everything is, it is kosher, and it's all good. And people, you have to have good taste in food. We have to live, you know, live to eat, to live. And, I guess that's it. And I hope fundraising goes well. And
I am proud to announce, and thank you for opening the door on it. I'm proud to announce that Tracy's challenge has been met and then some. So that will take us down to $225 in fundraising to go tonight.
Well, that's improvement. And so I'm going to I'll email you at your Gmail address with the specifics for the premium. And I'm just concerned about this election, though. This is really getting serious. I'm not feeling good about it.
I don't either. I mean, I've got this creeping something wicked this way comes sensation, and Todd, it will not go away. I mean, every time I see Hillary speak, and I will fight to the bitter end the notion that this is somehow grounded in, you know, me being a sexist or a misogynist, you know, horseshit. Every time I see her speak, I just think, And because there's too many crazy people out there. There's too many people. There's too many people who are as mean and nasty as Trump is, and he has reached the status of being an avatar for them. And I mean that in the Indian subcontinent religious meaning of avatar. I don't mean that they've got his ugly mug as their Facebook picture.
No,
he is the embodiment of their hopes, their dreams, their wishes, their ambitions, their belief system.
See, he picked the right time because, like, he's speaking for them. Excuse me, and it's not just the white folks. You see, it's people, anybody who feels disenfranchised. You know. And it doesn't matter what he says, because the people who are following him, they care nothing of the facts. They care nothing of his past.
Well, and look, I mean, there is a segment of the progressive population out there who actually believes it, Todd, when someone tells them, well, you know, if we elect Trump, that'll bring the revolution. And that is the biggest, most gigantic 50-ton mound of pachyderm shit that may ever have been flung at a credulous electorate. It just me if he gets elected, it just means that we are moving toward full on, pull the rubber mask off fascism. And there ain't going to be no progressive revolution, and the Greens are not going to elect Jill Stein president if Trump gets one term. Jesus, if Trump gets one term, Jill may wind up in a camp somewhere in Cincinnati or Columbus, depending on which plane she gets on.
Exactly. You heard what the fascist weirdo said in the beginning. He said, "Well, you know, we have to loosen up or tighten up the libel laws, right?" Because he knew about his past. And see, like, all right, for instance, psychology has something called foreclosure personality. That's where you just adopt the values and mores of your parents blindly because they're your parents and you love them. Okay, it's fairly common. But the more education you get, you tend not to have that type of personality. But, like, let's say the average white Southerner that I talk to, you know, and I'm like, well, why are you Republican? My dad is Republican. It's good enough for him. It's good enough for me. You know.
And yet that's a fairly new phenomenon, because the answer to that used to be, why are you a Democrat? Because daddy was a Democrat.
Well, yeah.
And great-grandpappy was a Democrat. And when he marched off, to the war of Northern aggression, great-great-great-great-grandpappy was a Democrat.
Oh, yeah. Well, see.
But see, starting about 1948, Todd, and certainly with the enactment of the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act, all them Dixiecrats became Republicans.
That's right, Strom Thurmond, and he knows how to have a black baby.
Oh yeah.
I like you're saying, I get that feeling too, and the matter that this person is this close is frightening. That's the fucking point. And it's not even him. It's these people who follow him, man. Wake the fuck up. Do some research. And you know what? And I blame the press, because our press is so co-opted now. Our press is so co-opted by big business and the defense industry.
Well, no, they are co-opted by their own desire to make money, Todd. Trump has made them a fortune. It's measured across the for-profit media spectrum. The amount of money that has been generated by Trump's candidacy for the for-profit media is measured in billions of dollars.
What was that? It's between $2 and $3 billion of free press he got. Okay.
Yeah,
and they know he's bombastic, and it plays. But what, I mean, people around the world, you know, see, a lot of Americans forget that other industrialized countries are multilingual or polylingual, you know, Americans speak five languages. But they, everybody has, well, except for me, has satellite and cable TV. They see what we see. And they're like, what the fuck is wrong with those people? Because they, you know, foreigners know history better than we do. They know our history better than we do, collectively. You know, and that's just what I see. Because when I was at, like, at the university, you're engaged with people from around the world. They know what's going on. You know, we're the only ones who are clueless. You know.
Well, so I was in a store yesterday, and I was behind a guy. Okay, I was in the tobacco store. I'm trying to figure out a way to quit smoking. I thought if I got some organic roll-your-own tobacco.
Hell yeah.
That might slow my ass down.
American spirit is the bomb.
Well, it certainly hit me like one. So I'm standing there waiting to check out, and there's this couple in front of me, and they're paying for their purchase, and he leans over to her. You know, it's Emery and Marveline, you know. He says, put your Hillary Clinton on the check there, Marveline. And I couldn't resist. I just said, our next president. And he turns around and gives me this withering look, and he says, not if I can help it. I said, you really support that miserable, ignorant maniac? You're damn right I do.
You said that, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I said, really, you support a guy who suggested Russia should spy on the United States? Well, somebody needs to spy on the White House. And he had him a 24-pack of Bush tucked under his arm, nice and Colt.
See. All right. This is what I'm afraid of. See, this is where we are. That is America.
But I mean, I'm in West Virginia, so that's, you know, it's not like that's emblematic. But that,
it's bad enough, Bob.
Anybody who thinks this is a shoe-in isn't thinking. And anybody who thinks that, you know, if you're in anything but a foregone conclusion red state, that you can just go out there and vote for the unicorn and there not be any consequences from it, ain't thinking.
Well, and you know, and you were talking about Jill Stein.
I just want to hit that point again, Todd. I want to drive that home. I'm not saying it's going to be anybody's fault. I am saying that if there is even the colorable argument of it, progressive politics will be anathema.
Yeah.
Bunch of America.
They'd be dead in the water. You know, start over.
I mean, Steve from Georgia Stan sent me a note saying, hey, the last CNN poll had Trump winning.
See? And we know that HRC does not usually climb in the polls. I mean, history, that's...
No, her poll, that's the whole thing that goes back to Lawrence O'Donnell. Her poll numbers never go up. They always go down or remain the same. And now they're falling.
And you know, and I don't fall through with your Jill Stein comments because I'd always known of her, but I was paying more attention because I was entertaining because of where I live voting for her. But no way now. It's just too close. But you know, now that I've seen her interviewed and I'm glad you got that story about the airplane, about her air flight.
Isn't that emblematic of something?
That's a disqualification.
I mean, you're wandering. I don't know where she was. I'm assuming she was leaving her nice white suburban enclave in Lexington, Mass, or wherever, and she went to, you know, she went to Logan, and she got through security, and she just wandered down and Cincinnati, Columbus, you know, tomato, tomato.
She was smoking that good shit, man. That, what they call here loud. She was having that.
Oh, they call it. They call it that here too.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Man, see, but now, you know what? Now that I've been listening to her, I've been watching her, I don't really think she has the intellectual tools to do the job anyway. I mean, I'm not saying she's a bad person, but I can't see her as president. I'm sorry. Nope. Nope. And nope. I mean, people of goodwill, we cannot waste time. We have a fascist, weirdo clown. Oh, this is what I was going to say. And the media is really being negligent because the first thing is that the weirdo fascist is not mentally sick. I mean, you don't even have to be. My degree is in psychology, but you don't even need a fucking degree, right? This dude is crazy.
Well, okay, so dig this. Steve from Georgia Stan just gave me the link. In the new poll, the new CNN orc poll, it's a CNN poll of a number of orcs. No, I'm kidding. Trump tops Clinton 45% to 43%.
Is that an aggregate poll?
It's just a national poll.
Okay.
Gary Johnson is at 7%. So if Gary Johnson wasn't in the race, it's 50% to 45% for Trump. I mean, I'm sorry. No. 52% to 43% for Trump. Jill Stein's polling all of 2%. So if you add her in, it's 52% to 45%.
Well,
they ain't enough liquor to make that okay with me.
No, are you? That's what I'm talking about. See, it's margin of error. That's a tie. That's a dead heat. Okay, depending on the sample size, you know, if it's 1,000 people, you know, up it or down, you know, whatever. But I don't have to explain that to you. Yeah, you know, right. This is concerning, and we have a couple months, basically.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And yeah. make no mistake. If she loses, it's not going to be the Greens' fault. It's going to be the Democratic Party's fault for nominating her. It's not like they weren't warned. It's not like people weren't saying well before the convention that she warning people that she is the most unlikable, untrusted candidate ever to be nominated by the Democratic Party. Fact.
That is a fact. And guess what? America is not as nice and liberal as people like to think. There are a lot of people who don't want to see a woman as president yet. They're not ready for that. So you got to put that.
That's in there too. But I don't think that's as big a deal as just the plain old Hillary factor. But Todd, I gotta roll out of here. I want to make room for at least one more phone call.
Yeah.
All right, brother.
Take care, and I'll email you. Okay.
All right. Welcome back to South Kakalaki.
Thanks a lot.
All right. See ya. Bye now. Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. And this isn't about gooning on Jill Stein. What's this I see in the chat room? She was videoed spray painting equipment at the pipeline protest. How presidential. Hey, look, from the soon-to-be-refrozen north, it's our buddy Ron. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
I'm reasonable.
Are you? Well, yes, you are. You're the soul. You're the soul of reasonableness.
I was just calling to find out if you had managed to stifle that gut inflammation and sample a little bit of that rum.
I have.
How was it?
Oh, sweet Jesus. It's everything your buddy told you it was.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some vanilla going on, and there's some, you know, there's some wood tannins and smokiness and, you know, all those things that you expect of things that have been in a barrel for 15 years.
Yeah.
And it doesn't taste anything like that. That stuff that comes in a bottle with a bat on it. Because that bat's on the bottle because, well, you know why. It's the same reason Budweiser has all those horses.
Yeah. anyway, I'm back up here in the land of sanity and just enjoying the hell out of it. It is...
The leaves are the leaves turning up there yet?
Oh, Bob.
Well, no. I mean, I'm already seeing yellow leaves. I had a couple of yellow leaves fly off a tree as I was driving down Route 60 the other day.
I saw more yellow leaves in West Virginia, the yellow and red, that, you know, those maple trees get that one limb that would just sort of decide, okay, I'm going to be the outlier and change early. I saw more of that in West Virginia than I've seen in Canada yet. Everything up here is finally got a healthy dose of water in eastern Ontario. And the grass is growing and people are mowing their lawns. And I haven't seen a single red or yellow leaf yet here.
Yeah, so maybe it's an elevation thing.
Maybe. I've always held you in an elevated opinion. But
Thank you.
Anyway,
well,
I wanted to tell you about after I last visited you in person and hitting Route 60 over Little Sewell and Big Sewell and going through Rupert and on to Lewisburg, West Virginia, West by God, Virginia, how much I enjoyed that trip. I left you in a good mood, and it just got better.
It's a fun road if you got the right ride for it.
It is, and I did. And
kind of like a go-kart, wasn't it?
Kinda, yeah. They just sort of squat
very nice go-kart.
Yeah, just sort of squat down and go around the corners. How fast do you want to go? How big are your balls? And the car was more car than I was driver, but that's best. Side of the equation to have. And when I decided to put on the brakes, it just flat came to halt. And that was really no big affair about it. It just stopped. That was nice. But when I went through Raynell, I was looking for all of the devastation I'd been told about.
Wasn't there.
Wasn't there.
No, it turns out, according to one story I wrote, there are investigations that a whole lot of the devastation was disposed of illegally.
Mm. By the way, the word wouldn't isn't really a major part of the English lexicon, but we use it in Appalachia more than perhaps anybody else does.
Do we?
But yeah, we do. But what what I expected to see was not there. It was so. I drove off on a couple of side streets.
Oh, what? Oh, you mean wadden, not wooden.
Wadden. And it was there. So then I went from there to White Sulphur Springs, and they hadn't had time to clean things up totally. And I saw, you know, those old antebellum sort of brick homes that were like 90 feet on a side and three stories high, pushed 6 feet off their foundations. It was an amazing thing to see. So I got nothing but sympathy for the people that went through it. I can't imagine.
And a whole lot of people still aren't over it.
No, won't be for years. It's hard to describe what that looks like.
Harder still to describe what it feels like.
Yeah. And then I went to the Greenbrier. Went right through the gates without being stopped. I wonder why, Bob. And went down to the clubhouse, talked to two or three people I knew, and they told me it was going to take 450 boxcar loads of what they call Ohio white sand to rebuild that damn golf course. I mean, it looked like a bomb had gone off. Even, you know, 2 weeks ago, it looked like a bomb had gone off.
And every penny of that's coming out of Jim Justice's pocket, right?
As well it should. But
I mean, he can write that check and not even feel it.
Yeah. But it was a surreal experience. And then I went back up to my sister's, to a little bastion of silence and sanity, and enjoyed 36 hours in West Virginia, drove back roads.
Ate good food.
Yeah, yay, verily. And I went to, I think I put 180 miles on my car one day, and I never got off of two-lane roads, mostly on one-lanes, and hit an art gallery in Cass, found a photo that I caught my eye from across the room, 40 feet away, and said, okay, I'm getting that for Kelly, and talked to the gallery owner, and she said, it's one of the few venues they've got in that area to actually move the creative products of the people around Pocahontas County, which is, not the most advantaged county in West Virginia. It's above McDowell, but not by much. And she was just so pleased that I was buying an absolutely drop-dead gorgeous photographic print that I would have paid more for. In New York, that print would have sold for $1,000. And I'm picking it up in West Virginia for much less. And she said, you know, he will be grateful, Lori Camera, the artist who took it. And I'm going, something about this is right. This should be on a much broader stage.
That photograph, by the way, and everything that you say about it is true.
Yeah. Blew me away. And there were several more just like it. And I didn't buy all of them. But, you know, there's artists hidden back there in the hills that if they could get out and be shown and respected in places like New York and Philly and Boston and Baltimore and San Francisco, could make a decent living. They're just living for their art in most cases. And I really doubt, even with the price I paid retail in the gallery for that print, that guy made more than $10 after all of his cost of doing a wonderful printing, matting it, framing it. No, he didn't make any money. Mm. And he deserves to.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean, there is a good bit of that. I mean, you know, from here to Lewisburg, there's a tremendous amount of art being produced, and it goes for prices that would be shockingly low to anybody who moves around in an art world.
Yeah, and Kelly's had stuff numerous times in Tamarack.
Oh yes,
and it's just not recognized for what it is, because they don't have a degree from a famous art institute or whatever, or they're not spotted by the New York Times, etc. But there's a lot of creativity in the mountains, and it would be an entire show as to why is there so much creativity in the mountains.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, if there's going to be a future, that's got to be part and parcel of it, Ron.
Oh, yeah.
And, I'm one of the, we don't have enough time, but I don't know if we'd have enough time if we had hours.
It's another show.
Yeah. But the future of Appalachia is not, I mean, we talk about bringing in sustainable energy industry in here, you know, solar panel manufacturers, or, you know, maybe just a factory that makes one particular bolt that they need in a particular wind turbine. That'd be great.
Yep.
But the nature of Appalachia is such that it has to be, and hillbillies, we'll use the word, because we can. We are,
yeah.
Have got to be intimately involved in their own salvation. And I know a lot of people trying to survive on art. I know a lot of people who try to survive on an industry that only runs from March to October. I think there are ways to extend that. I mean, if we had cannabis legalization on the level of Colorado, The tourism area here in Fayetteville would stop being March to October, and it would be 12 months. Because there's stuff to do here in the winter. And stuff that would rise up and grow up to do here in the winter. It's kind of like that old Warren Zevon song, Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead. Things to Do in Fayetteville When You're Stoned. The restaurant scene would burgeon more than it already is.
And it's wonderful.
I mean, you sat... Could you take that little bar that we sat in and drop it into just about any metropolitan area, and it would not be the least bit out of place? Do you agree?
I'd put it in Brooklyn, San Francisco.
Yep, Did you happen to notice the bar itself?
Oh yeah, that was a decent piece of wood.
That was a slab, and it wasn't cut down for that. It was a fallen tree. But that was it started out as like a 5-inch thick slab of like 400-year-old tree.
And 200 at least. If I remember correctly, it was maple.
No, it was not a maple.
No?
No.
What was it?
I think it was a poplar.
Oh. I'm losing it.
Over at the Grove at Secret Sandwich, they got the same thing, and it's hemlock. There's a guy who has made his own industry out of producing these irregularly shaped tabletops.
Yeah, yeah, they're called, if you slice it through the log like that with a big enough bandsaw, the woodworkers call it a flitch. And you take a log, call it 4 feet in diameter, and you slice it. And it's art to figure out which way is going to give you the most slabs. And you don't turn it. You just slice it all the way through and through the log. And you leave it with what are called live edges, which is what was on that bar. And you take the bark off the live edge because nobody wants bugs. And they're just beautiful. And a 3-inch flitch, 36 inches wide and a good wood, will routinely set you back $3,500 to $5,000. There's a lot of long, thick logs in West Virginia just laying on the ground. But I don't think there's a market for it. Most people aren't going to pay. You're not going to make a living hauling those big logs.
Oh, no, but in its finished product form?
Ooh.
That's
a $25,000 bar top.
D.C.?
More, yeah.
New York? Yeah. Dubai?
but they're shipping, Bob. Can't fit that into an airplane.
No, it gets on a boat.
I know what you mean. Okay, this is the time when we're 10 minutes, 15 minutes into a 45-minute conversation, and I have to say to everybody, please support Bob. Because, damn it, I need somebody to talk to.
It would be mighty helpful. We got $225 to go. Thank you, Ron.
And apparently I didn't raise the yardstick by all that much. You take care.
Well, we'll get there. And you never know what will happen after your words go out. There's still internet latency working it. All right?
Latency. I remember latency. Bye.
All right, later. And it is time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for your kind attention, for spending your precious finite time in this ongoing conversation. Thank you very kindly. Thank you for your kind generosity and support in keeping this independent broadcast effort on the air. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you very kindly to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch. And always, 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 Gina. It's all for you. Good night, y'all.